Just wondering where we're heading budget-wise again, I guess. I know you're probably sick of me standing up here trying to figure out where the budget's heading. Obviously, no conference committee has been formed yet. I know there's a little talk about a conference committee being formed. That's a good thing. Step in the right direction. Obviously, we have this deadline looming. A lot of federal money out there. Gentleman from the 78th knows. About $26 million with the hospital tax. Another $15 million primary enforcement that has to get this deal signed. But now I see Governor Doyle has called a special session for tomorrow. So a special session that we possibly could come in to pass that tax on sick people. From speaking to the speaker, he didn't think we'd be in tomorrow, but possibly could be in by the end of the week. Just kind of, if I could read from a printed document from time to time.
Without objection.
It's funny how things change in the course of a short time, because I remember when we were negotiating the budget last time and things were running long, we wanted to help out that school aid payment, and we were vilified for even suggesting it. As Governor Doyle said, I mean, a budget's a budget. And I've said all along, we're not going to go down the road of piecemealing budgeting, or we turn into the United States Congress in no time. So now Governor Doyle just said this, but yet now he wants to piecemeal the budget. He wants to come in and pass the one single tax so you can get more tax dollars from the federal government to flow here. So just wondering where this is all going to go and where it's going to head, but very confusing. I see Senator Decker has already taken that special session bill and put it in the Joint Finance Committee. So I don't know, maybe the gentleman from the 78th knows if they're going to take it up in the Finance Committee first or not, but very conflicting. Obviously, we have a state budget that needs to get done, some federal dollars out there, but obviously not a clear message of where we're heading and what we're doing. So hopefully we can get this straightened out in the next few days and have that final vote. But just remember, the only hammer you got on Senator Decker right now is that federal money. So I don't know if I'd come in here and pass a bill too quick and take away that hammer for him. Because let me tell you, I can tell you from firsthand experience, I spent a long summer with Senator Decker. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We are on the 13th order of business. Motions may be offered. Gentleman from the 94th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I unanimously consent to make a brief statement.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would echo the concerns I hear from the gentleman from the 39th. There's no question that the process of this budget has been getting quite a great deal of attention throughout the last few weeks by the major news media around the state. They're very concerned about the deals in secret, the negotiations going on behind closed doors. And there is great concern about the final product as we see taxes going up and policy being jammed in here. But to then today see that you are willing to actually start breaking this budget apart. It was only 2 years ago that we were facing another deadline, one that you all remember and were bringing to my attention quite frequently about the fact that if we didn't pass a budget by a certain point, schools were not going to get their aid payment. Schools were scrambling. They were trying to figure out what they were going to do, how they were going to pay their bills. And we on the Republican side of the aisle, when we were in the majority 2 years ago, offered legislation that would have provided for that. We, in fact, broke the budget apart to try and make sure that our schools could get their aid payment, make sure that they could keep their doors open and that our children could be educated. That, from your side of the aisle, was being irresponsible, was breaking apart a budget that didn't deserve to be broken apart, that we simply just needed to get our job done, when in fact you know the only reason the budget was delayed by 4 months last year, and there was only one reason, was because this side of the aisle would not support the taxes that your governor and your Senate wanted to raise. That was the only reason we did not have a budget on time last time, was because of the incredible amount of taxes you wanted to raise. Well, clearly, with us out of the way, the budget reflects all those tax increases. We've seen tax increases on every individual in this state, and we will see even more as this budget moves forward through the conference committee. But to come out and just 2 years ago vilify this side of the aisle for saying that we should not provide the funding to our schools, yet now break apart a tax increase, is the height of hypocrisy and irresponsibility. To say that we couldn't possibly break apart a piece of the budget to provide funding for our schools, but to now say we should break apart the budget so that we can increase taxes on health care. Clearly, this is a message that is just headed in the wrong direction. Ladies and gentlemen, you're moving this state in the wrong direction, and frankly, the people are beginning to realize it. The taxes are a great concern. The negotiations in secret are even a greater concern. And as this continues to spread out and as this continues to go day after day and week after week, we will see more and more people realize, as we heard in the LaCrosse radio today, that this is going to go down in history as the worst budget ever. Folks, work together and figure out how you're going to raise taxes or do whatever it is that you need to do, but get it done together. And recognize that, as is the case throughout this, since you did not allow the Republicans to put amendments on, since you did not take advantage of, as we talked about the night we were doing the budget, take advantage of any of the amendments to provide you that roadmap to bipartisan support, you are, because of that, on your own. Work together, figure it out, bring it back, but recognize the people of the state are not amused.
On the 13th order of business, motions may be offered. Gentleman from the 8th.
Just want a quick fact check. You guys didn't pass a budget last time until October. So it's a little early to start signing off the sirens. We have a long time until the time you guys played around and we on this side ultimately passed a budget.
Gentleman from the 72nd.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to make a brief statement.
Without objection.
Gentleman from the 94th, as I recall, 2 weeks ago yesterday, I was in LaCrosse with you, and you announced there would be no Republican votes for the budget. Now, unless something has changed, it's hard, really, to take you guys seriously. Talk about hypocrisy. We remember that 2 years, 4 years ago, you all, or not all of you, but a whole large percentage of you signed that no tax pledge. And then you couldn't get the votes. You were the speaker. You could not deliver the votes. You couldn't do it. So we had to bail you out once again. And what did we get in return? A statement from the minority leader. There will be no Republican votes. So we look forward to your comprehensive plan. Not piecemeal amendments. Where is the Republican comprehensive plan for this budget year? If you're so concerned about this budget and the policy garbage and junk that's in it, then bring us your own plan so we can see what it is you would offer the people of Wisconsin as a total alternative.
We are on the 13th order of business. Motions may be offered. Gentleman from the 94th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Inquiry of the Chief Clerk. Mr. Chief Clerk, if I may.
State your inquiry, gentlemen. Thank you.
2 years ago, the Republicans, in fact, did pass a budget on this floor. We got it done without the Democrats. And I'm wondering, just when exactly did that occur? Do you recall?
10 July 2007.
July 10th, 2007, the Republicans did pass a budget. We, in fact, did get it done without increasing taxes. We provided the people of the state the roadmap of how we were going to get it done without increasing taxes. And gentlemen from the 8th, the reason it took four more months and votes from the other side of the aisle was because in the end, the Democrats would not allow us to bring a budget to this floor without a tax increase. We removed 98% of them, but getting rid of that smoking tax, we simply couldn't achieve. That was when the governor had dragged us out to his residence. When we sat out there with Senator Decker and Senator Robson, we went through meeting after meeting in public so that people could see what was going on. We let them know that the Republicans were standing up for the people of this state and we would not be raising taxes. We were, by all accounts, the last goalkeepers for the taxpayers of this state. The goalkeeper is gone. The taxes are going up. The policy is being jammed into this budget, and you are presenting the people of the state a budget that they will regret for a generation. So while I always enjoy, gentlemen from the 72nd, your revisionist history, the fact is the Republicans did pass that budget. We did it without raising taxes, and we'd be happy to do it again. The reason you did not get any Republican votes for this budget, and I could tell you that in advance, was because I knew you would not accept any of the amendments that provided that roadmap to bipartisan support that we offered, over 100 of them, the night that you passed this budget. We provided those amendments, we provided that roadmap, and you rejected them all. Because of that, the Republicans had no opportunity to stand up for our constituents and our taxpayers, and it's why you got no votes. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman from the 72nd.
Gentleman from the 94th, baloney. Pure, unadulterated baloney. The minority leader announced in January there would be no Republican votes. In January. Not after you brought your amendments out here. So don't give us that fairy tale. Furthermore, let's look at back 2 years at that budget of yours that was done in open. We asked time and again, gentlemen from the 94th, to tell us whose amendments were included. Like that wonderful non-policy item of chartreuse license plates. Or how about that beautiful policy of closing down the law school? Or how about that little policy item in there to provide no public support for public broadcasting? Because the chairman of the Finance Committee says it's all public broadcasting is Prairie Home Companion. She lives too close to Minnesota. So don't give us a fairy tale about what happened. He announced in January that there would be no Republican votes. It's really hard to take you seriously.
We are on the 13th order of business. Motions may be offered. Gentleman from the 55th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll just take a moment here. Just a couple of things. It kind of would be nice to know what's going on here. And it'd be nice to be included so that we do know. But, you know, this place, there's a lot of history at this place, as the gentleman from the 72nd points out. And there's history, there's protocol, there's procedure. And, you know, we're not following none of it. The gentleman from the 72nd, we've been watching these stories play out many times on how we do the budget. I remember the one time when Wally Konicki walked up here, and we didn't even have a chance for amendments. We went right to conference committee, and a lot of us were here. There were no amendments. There were no nothing. We went right to conference committee. So I just wonder why we're not going to conference committee. I mean, that's the protocol. That's the way to get things done. You get you get some members of the majority. You get a member of the minority, and you go to conference committee. You get it done. You know, it's getting late, and there's still time, but we're running out of time. And, maybe today we should change the rule on the floor here, no eating on the floor, so that it makes the gentleman from the 5th life a little easier on July 1. Because that was a problem last time, he couldn't eat on the floor. Gentleman from the 72nd, I don't want to play revisionist history either, but you know what? That's just baloney. 2 years ago, how many amendments did you, the Democrats, have to our budget? You know the answer? The answer is zero. And pointing fingers ain't going to get it done, folks. The people back home, people who work at Merck Cruiser, the people who work at New Page, they just want us to get it done. And this pointing the finger stuff. But you know what? You have selective memory. Because 2 years ago, the Democrats brought zero amendments to our budget. We brought over 100 amendments to make it better, and I argued not to bring 100 amendments because I didn't want to be an obstructionist. But we tried to make it better. At the beginning of this process, we asked to be in the room. We asked to be part of the process, and we were told no. And I will tell you this. People back home are getting it. You know it. You're feeling the heat, not just because it's 90 degrees out there today. People on that side are feeling the heat. You're going home and people are saying, what the heck are you guys doing down there? You know what? Last time we changed the majority because we didn't like the direction this state's going. And you guys, you got in on change. There is change, all right. But the change is, you're going in a room, you're shutting the door, you're developing the product, and you're bringing it out there and saying, here it is, take it or leave it. So you know what? There's a lot of money on the table. We got to get this done by July 1. The proper thing would be to get that conference committee named, get them at the table, get them to work so we get this thing done, and we can go on, you know, people in this state can go on their lives. But, the game plan's got to end.
Gentleman from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, as we look outside the windows, it is a beautiful day, and I know a lot of people are saying, let's get our summer vacation going already. But look, we're here to do a job. We have a job before us, and there's a question about, are we going to be in tomorrow? Are we going to be in Thursday? Outside the aisles, intimating the fact that somehow we have not been cluing them in. If you go back last week, sent out a notice to every single office here stating, asking people that the State Assembly will be in session on Tuesday. Please keep the entirety of next week, this week, open for possible floor action.
We are on the 13th order of business. Motions may be offered. Gentleman from the 38th.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ask unanimous consent to make a statement.
Without objection.
I guess one of the frustrating things is how at the beginning we heard from what appears to be in all circumstances a very nice man say to us, he's offering us an olive branch. He might not even have known at the time that that olive branch was filled with thorns, because every time we reached for it, we got stuck. We learned pretty early on that the new majority was going to play ball a different way than we had. You know, when the budget passed, we had the former congressman who now has to suffer with the minions here down in the Wisconsin State Assembly stand up and yell at us. The gentleman from the 72nd just yelled at us. The speaker on the day of the budget yelled at us a little bit. I guess part of that is coming out of the frustration you have. You have all three divisions of government. Democrats run the House, Democrats run the Senate, and there's a Democrat governor. Hey, we can't stop you from getting the budget done. At the end of the day, we're going to lose. So I think what's so confusing and frustrating to you is that you say to yourself, we have the House, we have the Senate, we have the governor. But one thing you might not have thought of at the beginning is you also have Russ Decker. Like it or not, he's yours. And guess what? Russ Decker is proving to be a bit more wily of a negotiator than you might have thought. Now, here's what's interesting to me. The speaker you elected, as I said, seems to be a nice guy, and I also think he's pretty darn sincere about it. But now it's time for him to go to his roots. He used to be a union negotiator. What better person to have in place to give Russ Decker a little what for? Guys, we're here, but we only got 46 buttons. Have your master negotiator go to Russ Decker and put together the votes you already have. Because we can ban soap, and we can say to people, it's okay if you don't have a license, you can still drive. But we can't pass a budget. So now it's up to you to take the budget to the folks of the state of Wisconsin. You got the votes.
Lady from the 30th.
Mr. Speaker, but the gentleman from the 5th would yield to a question. I appreciate the possibility of meeting. I get that. I taught English for 7 years. I understand the definition of the word. Let me rephrase the question. After all, this is more than $60 billion budget. We can't be just meeting on a spur of a moment and go, got it, let's go. Wednesday, in or not? Thursday, will we be in or not? Friday, will we be in or not? Those are three specific questions, three specific days, in or not.
I didn't hear, lady, are you asking the gentleman from the 50 yield to a question? All right. Lady from the 30th asked the gentleman from the 50 yield to a question. Do you yield, gentlemen? Go ahead. The gentleman may proceed.
Well, right now we have a delay calendar for Thursday. So, yes, on Thursday. There's a possibility we could be in Wednesday, and depending on how things turn on Thursday, perhaps Friday. I mean, we know that at this point right now, if you go back a week, there were some dates that we were in session that we weren't expecting to be in session. So the best answer that I can give you right now, today, at 2:30, is that we have a delayed calendar for Thursday, so we expect to be in on Thursday. There is a possibility that we could be in tomorrow, Wednesday. We just don't know at this point.
Lady from the 30th has the floor.
Thank you, gentleman from the 5th, and I respect that answer and I can understand that. I guess I would follow up with, if we are on Wednesday or Friday, which is calendars we have not yet seen, if the issue that we're coming to the floor deals with a roughly $60 billion budget, will we have time to review the document that we're going to be addressing if we are in on Wednesday or Friday?
A gentleman from the 5th yields.
Yes.
Lady from the 30th has the floor.
May I clarify as to, may we have multiple hours to review the document that deals with more than $60 billion?
Gentleman does not yield to that question. We're on the 13th order of business. Motions may be offered.